I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed.
Hey, soccer friends. I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, PITCH, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have Michael Colodi. He is a goalkeeper for FC Dallas. I'm not going to say much. I'm going to save all my comments for the end. And I hope you all enjoy this episode. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Do you feel the FCD Academy schedule that they set up for the academy, they go to train after school or before school, really allowed him to be successful with his college and his high school years because it allowed him to have a routine that will probably stay with him for the rest of his life if he continues to be a pro or continues to go to college?
He definitely thrives in routine. So yes, that is always the best place for him, is to know, have a set schedule and know what he's doing on day to day. FC Dallas did also preach education. So they made sure all of those students and athletes were doing their work in school. They were passing their classes. Right. If you weren't showing up for class, if you were ditching or anything like that, teachers would be the first ones to call the coaches, and they knew, and you did not want to get in trouble with the coaches if you were messing up at school.
If you don't hear your work, you don't play.
Right. They preached that as well, because they also knew that they have greater responsibility to these kids, because the majority of them hopefully will go play collegiate, but there is a minority that were probably going to take the next step after that. Right. So they, Coach Chris Hayden, Luchi Gonzalez, all those guys would very much preach character and making sure they were quality human beings on and off the pitch and in the classroom. And I think that was a general FC Dallas youth designed program to make sure that those kids were doing what they were doing. And I think that extends our experiences only through the academy, but I'm pretty sure that was part of the training for most of those upper level coaches and athletes. So that was always good to see that it wasn't just us preaching at home, you got to do your work, you got to do your work, but the coaches would also preach the same things. That was always nice that they weren't just blown it off the school part of it. But for the routine part, it was very nice. We didn't have to transport to training all the time. We knew exactly when we were picking up, or we knew exactly what field he was going to be on. It wasn't going to be, oh, you're in Plano one day and somewhere else the next day. So once he hit the academy, the routine not only helped him, but us as well.
Oh yeah. Logistically, it was a lot simpler.
Now, as he's progressed through college, I look at his career that he had, and you talk about him having routine and looking at it from a perspective of that, going off to college, you as parents, how did you view his success and failure through college? There's that roller coaster. I don't care what age you're at. You're always going through that roller coaster of life and ups and downs and that little tornado, whatever you want to call it, a forward progression. How would you describe his college experience from the parent side? Because once again, I'm living vicariously listening to your folks' story and trying to understand what possibly other parents might appreciate.
So college it's interesting because then they're gone, right? You don't see them, you don't talk to every day. It's a very different world that way. From a soccer standpoint, I would say his soccer development, I think he would describe it as challenging and frustrating. And I'll paint the picture. So remember, he was playing with FC Dallas Academy. They made the national championship finals in both under 16 and under 18. So he played in two national championship matches in 3 years. And then he went to Columbia. Very prestigious academic university. On the athletic side, the Ivy League is definitely not the Power Five in any sport, soccer included. It was a very positive experience for him as far as the people he knew and the experiences he had. But soccer-wise, it was challenging because they were not good. For 4 years, they were not good. I think in his first year, I think they won maybe six matches. They were probably pretty close to 500 the first year. Then he had a second year, was canceled because of COVID. And then he had the 3 more years after that. And really, the last 2 years, they won a total of 3 times over 2 years. So his junior and senior year, he dealt with loss and loss and loss. And good people there, people we've made friends with and care deeply about. But it was just a kind of a challenging situation as far as the sports goes. For Michael's sake, there's some positive negatives in that. As a goalie, if your team is bad, you get a lot of work. So the opportunity to shine are there, and he did.
Great stats.
Yeah, he is.
I look at stats. Yeah. Like numbers.
Yeah, he is the number two. So in Columbia, goalkeepers, all-time saves, he is number two, which is pretty good. You know, and the fact that I think he was still 60 or 70 behind whoever the guy that's number one is. So I feel bad for his team, whatever that was when he was there. But it was a positive experience because of the people he was with and the experiences he had, not because of the success of the sports. Very frankly, in his development as a person, as I talked about, you grow a lot more through failure than you do through success. You lose all the time. You get good at handling it. And he's a leader on that team. He's the captain for 2 years. And you learn how to handle situations, how to have influence on his teammates. It's when you're playing in college, it's not, okay, we're playing 1 year. This is under 7 or under 9. These are guys in a 4-year gap. So you have 18-year-old boys and you have 22 or 23-year-old men, right, on the same team. That's the social dynamics of that is huge windows. As an older leader on that team, he had a lot of influence over guys. And how do you handle that as far as training and guys with various levels of commitment? I think we've been very clear in Michael's story of his level of commitment to soccer, and it's very important to him and has been every single day. But if I think we're honest, not everyone at Columbia cares about the quality of the soccer experience as much as he did. And that's not a knock on them. These are guys are going to be doctors and lawyers and stuff. So that's their career aspirations. there are some, but there are very few that professionals come out of the Ivy League. So Michael's a pretty rarity there. So navigating that, and you added to 19-year-old young men mentality of, we want to party, we want to go have a good time. Does that conflict with soccer? Sometimes it does. So that was part of his experience in navigating. I would say the biggest thing that I think developed while he was at college was his leadership skills. As he learned how to handle and lead boys and lead men, particularly like his last 2 years. While he was at Columbia, the coach that he had that recruited him, after his junior year, or his fourth year, because he played five, he took another job. So the coach that recruited him left after actually like a month before his senior season started, which was obviously very late in the window. So he got a job at his alma mater to coach there. So Columbia then had to do a coaching search and coaching hiring. And I appreciate that Columbia, you know, recognized Michael's value to that team and that process, and he got involved in that coaching search process, part of a player committee to kind of interview and talk with candidates. And one of the challenges that he experienced was one of the assistant coaches that was there, I think, had aspirations to be the head coach and asked, in a way, for Michael's endorsement for the role, knowing that probably the influence that if you get the senior leader on there, of the team on there, that probably has some value to there. And Michael respected the man, but thought that to be the head coach, there were some things that he would need to improve upon and do better to be the head coach. And he shared that feedback with the coach, asked him that. And it was not received as positively as you might imagine, anybody that kind of asked that question, hoping for this, yep, and you got to get type of an answer. And in our conversation about that, I said, "But so you're getting some introduction into the politics behind big-time sports. Now, let me paint a contrast. You're doing this at an Ivy League soccer program. So now take this and try to imagine what it would be like in a Power 5 SEC football conference. The complexities of the politics that go into Alabama or Georgia as a parent." So he got a little taste of the politics world, but it really helped him develop some leadership and some interpersonal skills that he wouldn't have the way to experience otherwise. What I told him, I said, just trust dad on this, but you're getting some skill sets now at the age of 22 and 23 that I didn't develop until I was in my 30s. So let me acknowledge this experience stinks for you. Man, I'm sorry you had to go through that. That stunk a bunch. But I promise your development will benefit because you've gone through the experience. So it's those times that we paint a bad experience in a bigger silver lining viewpoint. Right. So all those kind of things was what his college experience was. Soccer was very important, not so successful. He had success personally, but the team did not have success, and that's challenging and frustrating. As far as school was wise, if we're very honest, school is not his priority. Was to do well at soccer and proceed to the next level of soccer. And as a parent, okay, I acknowledge it. I'll be honest, when you told me that, probably not my ideal. But he understood and communicated as such that you have to do good enough, stay eligible, make sure you graduate. The point of being there is that you now have that piece of paper that he has now that says a Columbia diploma, and there's value to that. And you have to stay eligible to play, and you have to get that thing, because otherwise you waste a lot of time, energy, and money to go to a place without getting the benefit of it. College was full of a variety of experiences. Fun socially, fun interacting with friends. School was okay. He had to do it. Soccer had some fun stuff, and he grew. But it was also full of a lot more challenges than it was successes.
The one thing that you didn't touch on is that Michael, going from that really structured academy program, training every day, one game a week for a whole entire year, basically, college is not that. The college soccer world is vastly different. And that was a challenge for us, and that was a challenge for Michael, because literally the Ivy League had 8 conference games. There are 8 teams. So you had 7 conference games, period. And then maybe you had a handful of non-conference games. So maybe you had a a total of 13 games in a...
Yeah, I think it was like 15 or something like that a season.
15-week time frame from September to end in October. Good luck. And it was run and gun, and midweek games didn't really matter, but they did matter. But it was a very vastly different world for soccer because substitutions are different. The way games are played are different because it's 45 minutes, period. The buzzer hits zero, the game's over. There's no extra time. There's no stoppage time. It's just such a different structure.
Very different rule.
Than the FC Dallas, any other league for youth soccer. So that was a really big adjustment and something that needs to be looked at when people are looking to go to college. It's a very different world.
College soccer is probably not the best path if you have professional aspirations.
Right. A big reason.
It is not built around development, right? Development is really built around training. You train all week long. You play one game on the weekend. You allow your body time to rest, recover, and you train all week long. You have a game on the weekend. All just month after month after month. College soccer, they play. And they were playing two games a week. So in the fall season, they rarely have time to really train. It is just, to use an NBA term, they're load management, right? Play it on Saturday. We got to get you ready to play on Wednesday. Take a day off.
You're either in a light. Pregame day or a recovery day, every day.
It's good that parents understand that. And again, it just depends on what your child's aspirations are. You can make a professional jump from college, but it is more challenging now than it used to be. That is definitely not, I would even say MLS's teams, I don't know what the success rate of draft picks are, but I don't think it's all that high. So that is just something to be aware of, that if you're going to college, if the professional aspirations are there, college is probably not the preferred path, but it is a path if it's the one that you need.
It is a path.
So,
looking at this now as looking back, for you as parents, how did you navigate it? He's clear across the country. It's one flight, but it's still 1,500 miles. It's 2.5 hours, 3 hour flight. And I grew up in Northern New York. So all my siblings went west, and I have two siblings in Utah that went to college. Two of my siblings went to schooling in Utah, and then we're scattered all over the country. We never stayed still. So I've asked my mom how she's handled this. And she goes, because of my job, it made it easier over the years for them to travel. With that being said, how was it for you as parents? Because you can only watch them on TV if you can't make it to a home game. How was that experience for you then?
Personally, for me, that was the biggest adjustment, is I don't get to watch them in person every weekend. I love watching them in person almost every weekend if we could. That was my hardest adjustment, was that I have to miss a game. Thank goodness for streaming. Mm-hmm. Nearly every school that he played at or had some sort of streaming platform, so we were actually able to watch, and we made plans to go out and visit so we could see some games, but we weren't by any stretch getting most of them. It was one or two a season, so I'm not going to say that was easy, because we love watching him play. It's one of our favorite things to do. That was hard.
The other aspect of it, it's part of your kids growing up, and I talked earlier about your primary goal as a parent to get them prepared to be on their own. And college is it's not the final step, but it's a pretty significant step in that process. Yeah. Part of this, we were very aware and very intentional that by the age of 18, we're preparing our kids to leave the house and go. It's not a full leap into the adulthood, but it is a pretty good step, right? Yeah. You have the freedom to, once you're out of the house, you have the freedom to live life how you want to do. And college kids all get to do that, and the world is full of stories of various levels of success or failure with that. And that's part of it, is just, you know what, you're a 19-year-old. You're still a little bit of a knucklehead. Your brain's not fully developed. You're still figuring it out. So you're going to make dumb mistakes. Now the kids all video everything so we can see what their mistakes are. When we were young, there were no cell phones. No one recorded me when I was 19 years old. So my dumb mistakes as a 19-year-old knucklehead or 21-year-old knucklehead are limited to my memory, never to be published anywhere. So that's part of the challenges. But it's part of that. Yep, you got to let them go. You got to let them have those experiences. You got to have them have success and failures as part of that. And you can provide, they're not under your control. That's the biggest thing. Once you're at your house, and if a parent's wanting to control their kids in college, I would highly, highly discourage that mentality. you need to have them ready to go primarily on your own. As we get into kids in college and kids in the first stages of adulthood, parenting doesn't stop ever, but it changes significantly. It is now we provide counsel, we provide guidance. We don't give a lot of direction unless they ask for it. At least that's the plan, right? We're just helping. And in college, it's okay, I'm doing this, okay. And if he wanted to help, he would ask for help, and we would help him. But it's just letting them know that you're there and you love them and supporting them. There's a little bit of a, hey, are you going to class? Are you doing okay? Are you going to sleep at a good time? But they're on their own. They get to make those choices. And so that's part of the navigation, is really more an adjustment on our part to learn to let go a little bit. And it's hard. When that day we dropped him off, we both cried like babies. Because it's hard. It was our youngest one, and he was gone. And after about 30 minutes, we were okay, and then we went on. But it is a hard transition, but it was also a really positive transition. We've talked about how full our lives have been for soccer since, you know, basically since Michael was 10 or 11 years old. That's what we did. Until he went to college, that's what we did. When he went to college, we had a Saturday. We would get up and go, what do you want to do today? I have no idea. We haven't thought about that in a decade. So there's a little bit of, we got our life. We got some part of our life back, and we got to be a couple, and our family is now extended and around, but it's not immediately in our house all the time. So there's also benefits of that. Empty nest world is really positive. We like it. There's good and bad, and there's challenges, but it's just part of the growing and the journey that we're all on, is things always change. And the better that we understand that's going to be the way, the more content we will be with life. If we're very, life is perfect right now and never want to change, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. So if you can get to that point where you go, I know it's going to change, and that's going to present positives, and it's going to present negatives, and we're going to roll that and just take this adventure together, I think the better are that parents will be when you understand that.
So now let's progress to this last season, the last year of his life, because this has been the most very exciting year and the most prominent in my life so far of watching him play. This last year, how I remember we started to go to I think we went to the opening game. I have connections with North Texas Soccer, and it was an amazing experience watching it. Every year, my family has been watching him for almost, 3-4 years now, consistently, and we fell in love with it because my son had a private coach that played there, and it was an amazing experience because you got to see. If you're sitting on the field line, I hope they keep that when they go to the new stadium, on the field, you get to hear them. You get to hear them talk, how they talk. You can have them sweat on you if you stay in close enough. If you're watching, and they're close enough to you. And at the end, they always come over and talk to the fans, do autographs. Yeah. And as a parent, that is one of the most special moments I've had watching my kids have, even though they probably have the same signature, I don't know, 20-something times of every player now. And they always ask the same players. I can't tell you how many times we have probably 6 or 7 players probably sign my daughter's shirt. Because she just wanted them again. And that's an enjoyment moment. And this last year for Michael, watching him play has been phenomenal. You see we watched all the home. I think we only missed 2 home games this season. And my son and I would watch as many of the away games as possible. If not, I would watch him by myself. And he has done phenomenal as a player on the pitch. How has it been for you as parents riding this roller coaster? I know that I have talked to you, Stacey, a few times at matches indirectly, and watching you two at games, once I realized who you were all, I can't imagine sitting in your seat, because I feel like you have the hardest job as a parent of any parent there. Nothing against all the other parents that are there, but your child can make or break it for a team depending on his mindset. And I felt like he came out there and made it every single week and did phenomenal every week in and week out. And it's an unbelievable performance he had this season. And
we always, once we got through college, and my personal prayer and everything was, I just wanted him to get a shot. And what we've said this last year is Michael grabbed the shot and just punched it in the face last year, because we couldn't have scripted it
Oh no,
any better than his performance. Yeah. the team's performance, the quality of the play, the ups and downs and twists and turns and culminating in winning the championship, we wouldn't have guessed that it would have gone this well. So we just wanted him to get a shot. And then it was up to him. Yeah. Then see what you got. See if you're good enough. See if you can make it to the next level. And he, like I said, he took that chance and that opportunity and made the absolute most of it he possibly could. Yeah. He knew coming in, he was one of the oldest players on the team. So his experience at Columbia with being that leader, I think, really helped him step into that role. Mm-hmm. His relationship with John Gall, really that's who recruited him and offered him a contract with North Texas. But he had, John Gall was familiar with him from a 16-year-old kid. So John had been following him and watching him. And I gave John a hug at the end of the season on the championship game on the field and said, thank you for believing in my child, because that was the opportunity that he needed. And if this had been his only season, what a season. So it was amazing. I look back on it and go, that really just happened.
We watched a lot of YouTube videos of game highlights still over and over and over again. So
yeah.
I watched that St. Louis game, probably that conference final match, probably once every week or two, because it was just so exciting.
But we also told him, it was also the realization of the pathway. We told him coming out of high school, if he had gotten a contract with North Texas, was it going to be worth giving up the college potential scholarship for? We didn't know, but that opportunity did not present itself. So college was the way we went. He got the opportunity and we said, if you graduate college and you get an opportunity and we can support you to chase your dream, do it. And it just so happened that he got to move back home with us and that we were able to support him.
Which is great because
under our roof.
The North Texas contract was that's not a livable wage. So let's hold no unrealistic expectations. He did not make enough money to live on his own last year. So we were very blessed that it was here and he could live at home and he didn't pay rent. He didn't pay groceries and mom cooked for him. So there's a lot of stuff that made it a lot easier to do that. So we were very blessed that was the case. But he took advantage of the opportunity. That was our goal. I was hoping he gets a shot. And it's up to him, and he took advantage of it. So it was an incredible year, and one I would look back on very fondly time and time again. But that was chapter one of his professional career. And now we're at chapter two. And what's that going to be? I have no idea. We're gonna watch and try to enjoy it as much as we can. We describe this as a wild ride. His soccer life has been since day one when he was five and goalie day one when he was six. It's been a wild journey, and he's had some incredible experiences that there is no way that Stacey and his parents could have presented him with. He's been around the world. He had a thing where he had, in 1 month, he traveled with FC Dallas to Mexico, then with the U.S. national team to France, and then immediately with FC Dallas again to Qatar, and did that in 1 month. Mm-hmm. I could have never presented that experience to him. So he's had just incredible experiences, and we're hoping that this is chapter one of this journey, and we're going to get to see what happens next.
Now we can talk about it. I only found out because I read it in the news. He signed with the first team, and I was very excited for him because I honestly think in the next trade window, not the one we're currently in, our first team keeper will be gone because of his aspirations to go play. I think he wants to get back to Europe, and his Indonesia ties and playing for there has really shaped his aspects. And I think me personally, I'm not speaking for anyone else, I will live by this. I think Michael has a great chance to step into that role after the last season. I think he playing in college where he got to play against men and not always just teenagers, where I feel MLS Next Pro is more the stepping stone, you could call it. I think that really has given him the upper hand advantage to step into his next future role. And as a parent watching this transpire and as a fan, I've always wondered, I knew several players I've always asked, what is your aspiration? Is it to stay local? I think if you guys listened to the Third Degree podcast, they talked about Pax. He wanted to go to Arsenal at some point in time in his life, but he's happy being here in Dallas. This is his dream. Is this Michael's dream is just to play professionally and he's just happy to play at home? Or is there more to that dream to play at one of the top leagues in the world? Or is he content just being playing where he can get paid and make a decent wage?
I think like anybody, you said your son said the same thing. I think his aspiration is to see how high I can go. How high up the ladder can I perform and how can I play? Sure, would he love to play the Champions League? Of course. I think that's the top level of soccer is the Champions League. And I think would he love to do that? Is that aspiration? I think, yes, it is. Is it realistic? I have no idea. I'm not smart enough to know that. So this is the journey he's on. He had to find a pathway to get into professional soccer. And North Texas provided that opportunity last year. And he succeeded with that one. And now he's moved up to FC Dallas. And we're going to see what that's going to be. We're going to find out what Martin's aspirations are. What you say doesn't seem far-fetched. That's pretty realistic. So right now, FC Dallas has three keepers on their roster, Martin and Michael and Antonio. Michael and Antonio will be competing right now for the number two spot. And where's that going to go? I don't know. That's to be figured out in the field and in the training sessions, and we'll kind of see where that happens. And we have our preferences the same way Antonio's parents would have his preferences. And those right. I think both of us, I would say, and we know them fairly well, that we're both realistic, but we're also very biased, right? It's our kid. It's our son. So, of course, our son is better than the other one, even though we like the other one well. So we're going to see what happens this year and where Michael and Antonio kind of fall in the depth chart. And we have no idea. It's just a watch and learn. As we get this point, part of the challenge, as Stacey described, is that we don't know stuff now.
The coaches don't take my call.
They don't. When we stand by the field and talk to them, they don't talk to us. No, I'm just joking. We don't do that.
John won't talk to
they
you?
They don't answer my texts.
Yeah, when we call
them. They don't answer my emails.
Can I talk to you after the game? They don't answer those things. We don't do that, for the record. But it's watching your kid as an adult now. And you're rooting for them, and you're supporting them, and you want all the dreams to come true. But this is real life. And
right.
They may. It's very possible that Michael has had the greatest success of his professional year already last year. That could be the highlight of his career. It could pale in comparison to what's going to happen in the future. We just don't know. And part of the fun, we describe this whole journey as an adventure. And we're just going along with Michael's adventure to see where he can go and what he gets to do with it. And we're trying just to have the wonderful attitude to enjoy every moment of it, because we know how unique and how special this is. What the percentages are of youth players and high school players and college players to get to play at the next level, I don't know what they are, but I know it's very small. The athletes get to do this. So we don't take any of it for granted, and we just root him on and want him to be as successful as he can be, and for our talents to try to enjoy the moment, right? Enjoy the North Texas Championship experience, because that's really cool. He's never really won a big title like that before. So that is a pretty cool experience to be in the field with, standing beside two billionaire owners as they lift the trophy up while the confetti cannons fire off, Michael doing snow angels and the confetti. That's an incredible experience that may or may never happen again. But, man, you get the chance to try for that every year. And that's pretty cool. So we're just excited to watch him and see where this journey takes him and where the rest of this book, what those chapters are full of.
I love that. Now, looking back at everything, and this is me looking at this from a parent perspective, what type of support system would you encourage parents to find? Since you've gone from that 5-year-old little boy on the pitch to now the 23-year-old man on the pitch doing snow angels at the championship game, what advice would you give parents to find support? Because I can honestly say sometimes on the sideline, it's not the best community to find support, because it can be difficult and parents are parents and parents are biased. And
right. I guess I have two pieces of advice. So the first one is, as a parent on the sidelines, have a realistic perspective of where you're at and what you're doing when you're a younger team and you're yelling at the ref who happens to be a high school kid about making calls and stuff. Just try to realize that there needs to be a level of respect and kindness on the sideline. And that goes not only with the parents and the players on the field and the parents that you're with on the sideline, but those that you're playing against, because we also learned this is a very small world. And those parents that you may be playing against one weekend, now they're on your team the next season. And everyone remembers everything everybody other said. And parents get very passionate, and that's fabulous. Be passionate, but be kind to the players, to the coaches, to the officials, and to the other parents. We've seen our fair share of unkindness, and it's not pretty, and no one enjoys it. The other thing I can say is there's a lot of coaches. There's a lot of avenues for soccer. There's a lot of teams. Find the coach that fits your kid. Find the coach that your kid will work for, that can mold your kid and motivate your kid and bring the best out in your kid, and then let them coach. And you be supportive. But if that happens to be dad, great. If that happens to be mom or uncle or cousin, great. But let the coaches coach and parents be the supportive ones and the ones that are going to love and support on the kids, no matter what the score. That's my two pieces of advice.
It's very good. I would add, I think the realistic advice is really good. Be realistic about your child. Yes, they are the greatest thing ever. They're better than Messi. But then also look at it realistically. You know, is professional really on the table for him or her? Maybe, maybe not. Try to be realistic about that. What is the goal? Is their involvement in sports going to be for a professional career? The odds say probably not. So is it for college? If you have a boy, the college soccer scholarship world is pretty minimal. So have realistic expectations to understand what that is. For most parents, you want your kid to have a positive experience. When they are old and they're 55 and fat and can't do anything anymore, what are they going to look back on their youth soccer experience as? Was it really fun? I had some good friends. I really liked the girls I played with, the guys I played with, and we had fun. I played only until 12. Or was it terrible? Mom and dad were on me all the time, and it was just so miserable. How can you make your kid's experience enjoyable? And don't tie that to whatever your aspirations are for their success. If they make it at a professional level, that's wonderful. Ours did, and that's really exciting for us. It's beyond belief to us. So I don't want to minimize that. It is really, really cool. But this is one of the things we said with Michael. We want you to be awesome. We want you to have a wonderful thing. But we care more, and I still say this today, we care more about the person that you are than your success on the field.
100%.
And that will be the case till the day till we die. And we're not his parents anymore. Yes, we want to be successful. And I would want to be successful as a soccer player, as a doctor, as a businessman, as a whatever he was. But I care a lot more about the person that he is. If I had to pick between Michael being a successful soccer player and being a jerk and being just a regular working person and being a kind person, I would pick the latter. And that's the honest truth. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to us, for both of our children, we want to model for them to be a good, kind, caring person, to have a positive impact on the people that you interact with daily. Wherever that daily is, whether it's an office, on a field, on the back of a trash truck, wherever it is, we want you to have a positive impact on people that you are around. Now, if you can have success in any career or as a professional athlete, fantastic. That's just gravy. And we've tried to teach that throughout our time as parents. And I think we will continue to try to preach that as our time as parents forever to do that. When you play in the field, you can play hard. And Michael, when he's a goalie, man, he comes out, he comes through, get out of the way, you're going to get clocked in the head. But if you'll notice, when that has happened, and I think every time that happens, he goes back to that guy that's on the ground, help pick him up, make sure he's okay, pass him the butt, and goes on. And we have tried really hard to instill that value of humanity and that care for people Yes, you play hard. That's your job as an athlete, is go give everything you have. And sometimes that causes collisions and all sorts of stuff. But at the end, they're a person just like you are. And they have a mom just like you are. So treat them like their mom would treat them after you knock them down.
That was one of the last questions I actually sent you, was talking about this, because I actually did my interview with him, but I actually talked to him a couple of times on the pitch very quickly and talked to people that have had interactions with him. And they all said his head's on right. He's very humble and very kind and willing to help the younger players at training sessions and willing to take time for others. Have you, as parents, since you guys have talked about that so much in the last few minutes, have you seen that shine through in his pro, his collegiate and actually his academy years, his collegiate years and his pro years, as a something that has been beneficial to him in the long term? Because looking at this as a parent, I have watched many athletes burn bridges because of the lack of kindness and lack of humility and hot-headedness. The more I've learned more about team cultures, the more I've realized those players truly shine through. I mean, the example I like to always look at, it's not soccer, but it's American football, is Tom Brady. As much crap as people give him, he always was kind and mostly humble to help other people. The example for Messi was when Argentina couldn't afford to play their national team players and players were struggling to make ends meet, Messi paid their salaries. And a lot of people don't realize those stories in the background. And as Michael has gone through his career so far, do you see that his kindness and his level-headed and having his head on right truly has given him more opportunities to be successful? And I'm seeing this as a parent watching these guys, because I feel the more humble and the more these kids do better, the career launches and kids see that.
I definitely think that his character has played into the opportunities that he's been given. I don't know if he was a jerk. That if you're on the fence, you can be a quality player, but I think if you're on the fence, maybe we should offer this guy a playing spot or this guy a playing spot if the skill level's the same. Which guy do you want? You want the jerk that's going to maybe bring some volatility to your team, or do you want the guy that's going to pull everybody together and lift them up and be the quality individual that are win or loss? I know who I would pick. And in talking to coaches and people that we've only met once, like after the championship game when we were allowed on the field, found myself standing next to Kenny Cooper and I was like, oh, hi, and introduced myself. And he's, wow, Michael's such a good guy. I start crying right there, not because he won the championship, but because they recognize the kind of person he is, which, as Mike said, matters more to us.
That's our biggest value.
And as a parent, it should matter more to a parent. And I know John Gall feels the same way. If you're a good guy, you may not get opportunities because you may not push through people to get them. But when you're the one lifting other people up, you're the foundation and people see it.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. Who would you rather have? The guy that's, if all things are the same, that's the guy you're going to pick. We've always said, if you're going to be a jerk, man, you better be good. Because they're just looking for a chance to get rid of you.
Going on the jerk thing, I spent the last year and a half on a journey of sports psychology and team dynamics because of trying to help my son, because he's at that age where team dynamics and kids are kids and parents are parents. And I listened to an interview of the guy that Damian Hughes, he wrote the Barcelona Way, and Barcelona cleaned house. Pep came in and became coach. They cleaned house. They got rid of personalities that were not with the mantra more than a club, which means that they're a community and they have to represent that. And in his book, he talks about, I found it on a podcast, but I've been reading excerpts as I find it of the book. And he talks about, even in the podcast interview, he talked about when Pep realized, I can't remember the player's name, was all in for the team. He was one of the stars of the team. He goes, I know I have a starting spot, but I'm not the best candidate. He put the team first. And it's like they realized he has changed as an individual by being in this environment because they couldn't get rid of him. And the players around him molded and shaped him to be a better player. And listening to a few people I've talked to or asked questions to about Michael, they all have said something similar. So I have to give you guys huge props for raising such a young man to have his head on straight, being so kind and courteous to everyone, but still have that fierce competitor in him.
Thank you. We appreciate that. It means a lot to us.
I'll ask my last question, and I'm going to angle it more from the parent perspective, because I always ask who's been your greatest influence as a player or a coach. I'm going to ask you, who has been your greatest influence as being a parent raising a phenomenal athlete?
I'm going to circle back to what you asked about your support system.
Yes.
And as a parent, I would say look to who is in the spot you want to be 5 years from now, ahead of you. Go to those older kids' games and look, watch the parents. And who do you see modeling behavior you want? And I think I would answer your question with Paxton's parents. Preston, who was a coach of Paxton, and we played against a lot, but Preston Palmical. And when we had a little bit of interaction with him when Michael was being recruited from Columbia, Preston's always been willing to talk with us and have interactions with us and talk about Michael if we wanted to, or talk about Paxton or ask questions. So that's one thing that sticks out in my mind. That's not a question we've ever really gotten asked.
No.
But that's the one that's just popping into my head. And I think Paxton had already signed a contract. Then we had some interaction also with him when they were in Dallas Cup, when they won the Dallas Cup, I believe, as well. That's one that highlights to me, and I forget his wife's name, but they've always been super kind and very humble and someone I would reach out to and feel like I could reach out to even now if I had a question or was struggling with something. Sure. Or wanted to know how they dealt with something.
I don't know if I have a name off the top of my head, but it's the same philosophy as we've, obviously, we've been on sidelines for years, right? We've sat next to a lot of parents and had a lot of conversations, some deep ones and some very shallow ones. And I have the philosophy of just mind the field and find the good nuggets that are out there. And having conversations with our parents, particularly as we were navigating the upper levels of academy, was, okay, who are these parents that had their kids signed? And what was that process like for you? And what did you learn? What would you do differently if you had it to do again? So there's a lot of those kind of experiences. We're just picking people's brains as you're standing by each other for 90 minutes, right? There's that, an hour and a half is a long time on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Tuesday night. There's a lot of time to just sit there and chat as if you want to. And the ones that are interested are generally happy to share their experience and share their story. So I've always just been of, let's ask people questions, find their story and kind of mine for those nuggets, whether they're intentional or unintentional. I've had people give me good advice that was very intentional. Here's what I learned. I learned this specific thing. And sometimes they're just telling a story and you go, there's some real wisdom in what he just said. And you may or may not even acknowledge it at the time, but just you make a mental note, like, that's a good thing to remember. But I think it's find the people that are where you want to be. And that may or may not be where their child's athletic success is. It just may be where Stacy described the behavior that they model. I talked about under 7 sidelines versus under 17 sidelines, and they are a world of difference. Mm-hmm. Find the one that's, if you're at an under 9 game, who's calm? How'd you learn that? What experience did you have or heard it? Or have you done this? This is your 7th kid and you've been through this 45 times. but how did you learn the lessons where you can go, I watch all these parents that are just going crazy and you're not. Why is that? Find behavior that reflects what you value, right? What is important to you, and talk and ask questions. People are very happy to tell them. Every parent's happy to brag about their kids' experience, right? Take advantage of that and ask them questions of what they experienced, what they learned, and you'll find all sorts of stuff that you can take from that.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Sitting down with Michael and Stacy Colodi has been a life-changing event as a parent, because you get another perspective of this beautiful game. It's not just the player, but it's the parents, the struggles, their ups and downs, their advice they gave. I can't thank them enough for making time for me and answering my questions off and on the podcast. And I think over time, listening to this, that half a dozen times I have now,
has really ingrained into me to expect the unexpected and enjoy the moments and cherish what time we do have watching our players play the game. And I don't know what's next for their son, Michael, but it's a bright future. And the wisdom they shared along their journey is awesome. And I hope you all really appreciate it and look for those mentors that are out there and find them around you and make those friendships of people. If anything else, learn to cherish those moments of your players.
On all the podcast sites that you listen to this on, give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.